This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the Battery Doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Jake from State Farm. I'm winning. I finally cleaned my house, so I'm breaking out my new tropical room spray.
Keep winning and create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. It's like your own personal paradise.
Ooh, hey, grab me a coconut water.
Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
We did get some pretty strong opinions on Alice in Wonderland.
We did.
We got a multi-text thought on. There's a Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah, that, and isn't a.
Just know the one, right?
Is that the one where.
The animated one, I think?
What's his name? Penn. Oh, man. I don't even know how to describe the actor.
This is riveting.
Yeah, who's this person?
This is terrific.
What have they been in besides?
I love it.
Johnny Depp is who I'm thinking of. Isn't Johnny Depp in
Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he is.
Tim.
The latest version I think he's in.
Alice. Tim Burton, Alice in Wonderland. The star of that is, in fact, Johnny Depp, Anne Hathaway. So now looking at the poster, I remember the poster. I know this. I haven't seen it, obviously.
Alice in Wonderland is overrated, I think.
You have seen it?
Haven't. But
how could you say it's overrated? What are you talking about? What is with this show? Why does this show do this? Why does this show rate stuff that we've never actually seen or heard?
Oh, you've tried like every food that you didn't like? You've never been like, oh, I don't like that food. I'm not going to try that.
No, I've never said I don't like that. I might say I'm not going to try that. That's not the same thing.
See, Kyle Renata said he's never seen it. He agrees.
It doesn't even make sense.
It looks stupid.
Yeah, it's not like...
Yeah, it looks stupid.
Like Lion King, if no one's ever seen Lion King, like they'll feel like, oh, I messed up. I got to see Lion King. And someone will tell you that. Like, no one's ever felt that way about Alice in Wonderland. Like, there's like five different Alice in Wonderland movies, and no one's been like, oh, I got to go see
that. What did this Alice do to you?
And we're just telling the truth.
And you haven't seen it either.
I haven't seen it.
All right.
I've seen bits and parts of it, and it looks... Like a, you know, you got to be on some stuff to enjoy it.
Well, that was confirmed.
Yeah.
See, ZZ Sickness in the chat, he's saying only watch the cartoon. If you're telling me to only watch one of them, it's overrated.
The cartoon don't even look good.
Yeah.
Nah.
Russ Dog telling me to take a lap. Brother, I run the class here. You go take a lap, Russ.
Oh, he went all caps, too. Damn.
Well, this is the chatty houses. They're also talking. They're saying we got situations going on.
What is it?
Oh, yeah, I saw.
What is happening?
Oh, we didn't get a call today.
We didn't get a call?
Yeah, one of our P1s is out there calling the ops, I guess.
Oh, TC out there?
That's what the chatty house said.
Oh, wow.
Nah, TC called in earlier. I tried to throw him on a hold, but he left and hasn't called back since.
Well, he had to call had to call Alan.
Yeah.
He got a schedule to keep.
He's like, man, I got Alan at 1. I got D-Lo and Casey at 12:30. I got Alan at 1. I got
Whitey and Drapes.
Whitey and Drapes.
Yeah.
Does he end his 11:40 calls with Yahtzee?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I don't know why everybody laughed. That was an honest question.
We had a redacted Sun Devils on the chat earlier, too.
I saw that.
He just pops in from time to time. Shout out, Ramsey.
Shout out, Ramsey. You were champagne and campaigning the other night.
Oh, word?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Shout out, Ramsey.
Okay. James just texted. He will be here. Yeah, in a couple minutes. He says he's right down the street. So he's headed in a studio from practice.
You think he went to Bennett's?
I don't. Oh, that'd be amazing if he did.
It would.
I think he went to practice and he's on his way back from practice.
I'm door dashing during the 102.5.
So. Speaking of, real quick, look who's here. What? TC, go ahead.
Hey, that's how y'all do your boy, huh? Hey,
no, what did we do? You talking to the ops. What did we do?
Hey, thanks for fitting us into your schedule.
No, listen, I wasn't even talking to the ops. I didn't even call nobody. What y'all talking about, man? That was fire.
Are Chatty House starting fights?
Hey, that was fire. Hey, Jeffy, listen to you. You trying to throw me under the bus? Hey, I did try to call in earlier, though, and I didn't get through.
He mentioned that.
I mentioned it.
I know, but Jesse started saying all type of other time on 11:40.
I just started. Casey started it.
Oh, man, we got beef with TC.
Hey, listen, man, no. Ain't no meetings, man. Y'all, hey, listen, first and foremost, let's get it right. Y'all my two brothers, period. I don't care if it's 95-7, 11:40. Y'all stand first, period, point blank.
Well, we know.
My dog, appreciate you. Appreciate you, brother.
Well, there ain't two brothers left anywhere anymore, so it could only be us.
Hey, D-Lo, I'm like, you my dog, man. hey, I know y'all wanted me to call. Listen, let's talk about it. So, listen, the Sam Darnold contract, that's more than enough for Brock Purdy.
Oh, right, stop it. Stop it.
Hey, what's the contract again? Tell him what's the contract again.
35 a year for 3 years. What's that, 105? And he can get about 40. He can get 40 of that guaranteed, bro. That's not, I mean, is that shorting the guy?
No, he needs more than that. What are we doing? He's accomplished more in this league than Sam Darnold.
Listen, man, Sam was balling last year, and he got his money. He got.
Bro, are you at Costco? What is going on? Where are you?
D-Lo, I'm on break, man. That's what the forklift's working around me, man. I'm sitting down on break, man. I'm talking to my brothers, man. D-Lo, are we live now?
Yeah, we lie.
We always lie.
DC, you crazy. Listen.
Hey, and I love how Jed got the boy Kate Kyle. Listen, I love how you got Shanahan on notice right now. Shanahan, if you a real coach, dog, you're getting rid of all these people with this money and doing all this, and we're going to get some people in here so you can coach. We ain't talking about your homeboy or people you trying to overpay. If you're supposed to be the real deal coach, then you're going to get it done this year. If you don't, bro, you're out of here. So I like Jed for growing a pair.
Yo, that dude is hilarious.
Yeah, no, he's that first ballot unanimous.
Oh, man.
He said, I'm on break.
And the best,
I got the forklift behind me.
The best part about TC's calls to like the takes or whatever, but it's just TC.
Oh, yeah, every time. Yeah. He delivers. He delivers every single time.
It bothers me that Bontemps is tall.
He is tall. I saw him on
that weekend. Bugs me. Like, he doesn't deserve to be tall.
Yeah, Bontemps.
I mean, L's pretty short, but Bontemps, he's tall.
He's taller than me. I saw him. Did nothing with the height. I was looking at Bontemps, though. I was like, yo, what's he got going on? Who's his uncle?
You got to be good at this. God should just look down and go, you know what? You ruined this light. You're going to be short.
Wait, look at him. Look at him now. Hey, who's his uncle?
Who's his uncle?
Yeah, like, what's his grandfather? Who's his great-grandfather?
What's up?
What's up? Look at the hair. Look at the the hair. What's up, man? What's up?
Was Zach Levine? Oh!
It was his great-grandfather.
Oh, I see what you're suggesting. Are we talking little brother Bontemps?
I'm just saying. Hey, who's his great-grandfather?
There is no way. There is no way.
I don't know.
Now, I see why you're asking.
Yeah.
Good thing his buddy is here. Hey, is Bontemps black? Bontemps, no, I didn't think so.
Well, like...
Yes or no?
Once again, I want to know who his great grandfather is.
He had a little Zach Levine in his hair. It was a little Zach Levine.
A little bit. I'm just saying. I want to know who his great grandfather is. You know,
brother Bontemps. Little brother Bontemps vibes there.
It might be a generational move.
It's not just hair though. It's nose. It's lips. True. Like he's lacking in all other categories.
Wow. True. I'm just, you know. Might be a generation removed.
What's that?
I said I'm not allowed to ask these questions.
No, you're not, but you can answer them, and that's your boy.
Am I allowed to answer them? I don't know.
Well, you did hand us a plate of donuts in a rather suspicious way last week.
Yeah. Never forget. You know what we missed yesterday? And they had a big story on it that I wanted to see. It's been 5 years. Since the NBA shut down. Yesterday was the day.
Yeah.
And ESPN.
I didn't get to read Baxter's article on it.
Yeah, I wanna check that out. But man, that's one of those days. We talk about it often, but that's one of those days. I'll never forget that day.
Yeah, I remember there's a delay in the, was it Jazz Thunder?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I flipped over to League Pass. And there's delay. No one's really saying what's going on. And all of a sudden, Frankie J comes out. And I'm like, oh, are they killing time with the halftime act? Okay. And then there starts to be like rumblings. And then.
And for
who tweeted it first? Was it Shams?
Or was it Woj? It might have been Shams.
I thought it was Shams that tweeted the NBA season is.
For us in the profession that we're in when we talk about sports. That was probably the definitive moment when COVID got real. When the NBA stopped,
yeah,
it's like,
that's right.
Oh, COVID is really here, and it's a real problem.
Yep.
Because the NBA shut down.
I told you guys, I was that entire weekend was weird. I was in Portland. I flew up to Portland on Friday, went out with a friend from high school who with him and his wife, and we went out to dinner in Portland, but that's when Seattle was like, you know, ground zero, right? Yeah. And he worked all week in Seattle and then flew and came home to Portland, and we all went out to dinner. And then I went to the game on Saturday night. I flew home early Sunday morning because the Kings played Toronto in a back-to-back at home. So I was in two, you know, giant cylinders in the sky filled with people breathing on everybody, hotel rooms. I was in two arenas. And then we get to that Monday. The Kings, I think it was a Wednesday night. They had a couple of days off. And we were sitting there, and the news broke. I was sitting on the set when it broke, and that the game was suspended in Oklahoma City. Yeah. Right? And so there's an usher, amazing, cool lady that stands right next to the set every day. And they open the doors right after that, and people are flooding in. And I said, hey, take a step back, stand on our set. Don't go out there and don't touch people's phones. Don't touch all the stuff, because we had no idea what we were getting into. But I had just read this weird article about how quickly it could spread and all this stuff. And so gave her my hand sanitizer. And then I went down. I was standing with Amick, and we watched. You know, we're waiting for the Pelicans to come out on the floor, and they just didn't.
Yeah.
And then NBA security opened their locker room door and goes, we're done. And so Sam and I were standing there tweeting like, oh, looks like the game's getting canceled. And then we start to hear like right then that the official that had called the game on Monday with the Jazz and someone else he was not only there, but he was in the locker room with the other two officials. So they were worried that he might have it and had already spread it to the other two officials. Again, like what we know now, what we knew then, totally different. But still, like, a really, really weird situation to be on the court. And then we had to, we, like, switched into, like, TV broadcast mode where they just kept coming to us on the floor at Golden 1 Center. Mm-hmm. And, like, Katie and I standing next to each other with her towering over me with her giant heels on. And we just kept, like, they kept coming back to us again and again and again on the floor for updates and hits. And we're running around trying to figure out what's happening. It was wild.
Oh, was
5 years. That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. I don't feel like it's been five years, but that's crazy.
5 years.
Real quick, no.
It felt like it was never going to end.
It really did. I didn't think we'd ever get to this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crazy side note. You talk about Portland. Next night, Toronto. Was that the game where Damian was doing like a playback, watching it live, got discussed it with Luke Walton's out of bounds play, and the guy in the crowd, he yelled something at Luke, and the TV picked it up.
Was it you left the 3-point champion on the bench or something like that? Like, I don't remember if it was the same game or not. I do know what clip you're talking about, because it's the one where I'm just kind of like, I threw something in the air. Yeah.
It was a Sunday. That's why I remember that. And you said Portland. Yeah, I think it was. I'm about to check right now. I think it was. Oh, there's postponed.
But I do remember.
Yeah,
I think
Portland,
it was
Saturday. Sunday was Toronto.
Sunday was Toronto.
And they lost by 5, so yeah.
And I think I've told you guys this. The guy who yelled, like, he was yelling at Luke, like, very loudly and got picked up on the air, yeah. Right? I actually, a couple of times a year, when I come out of the tunnel on the home team side, like, during pregame, that guy's always in the stands and would like, hey, James, come here. I'd go over and say hi to him and, like, have conversations. I don't remember his name. But anyway, he called me over after that and was super embarrassed.
And I remember you told us that.
He apologized and he said, is there any way you can go tell Luke, like at any time, like, hey, that the guy in the stands that yelled that on the air is really sorry and he didn't really mean it. He just got caught up in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, no stress. So I actually had a conversation with Luke about it.
Did you tell Luke Cheryl Linnell Grove thinks he sucks?
Well,
I didn't.
Oh,
she, you know, she
would
she
like
just
that message.
She wasn't a believer. That's all it was. She wasn't a believer.
Actually, what she said was much worse.
Well, that, and she hasn't brought in any of that lemon cake for me in a long time. So,
I'll put the word out.
She did bring in cake recently. No,
but yeah, it was the lemon cake. But what it was we were going to be gone.
Yeah,
like the whole building.
No,
was
like
be
she
gone.
Brought it in late, and then we were like off, and it was like it was basically. You have to take the cake home.
Yeah, I'll be taking this. Don't worry.
She basically brought her son a cake.
For perspective, we talk about that Kings moment, and we say, yo, they're playing some good basketball. I think they were going to track down Memphis, I think it was.
It was like, Memphis. Memphis's schedule the last like 12 games of the season was nearly impossible.
And we were like, yo, I think they're going to get them. The Kings was cooking.
It's just the most romantic story we tell.
The Kings going into the New Orleans game were 28-36 on the season. They were playing well, but 13. They were 28-36. And we hate this team. Some people hate this team that's 3 games over 500.
I think they were 13-7 over the 20 games leading up to that night.
They were playing really well.
After they had put Bogdan into the starting lineup over Buddy Hield and moved Buddy Hield to the bench. That was like...
That's right.
And they all of a sudden started to go on a run and looked really good. And they were playing New Orleans that night. And they were, I think, a half game behind New Orleans. But if they could have won that game, they would have been the odds-on favorite to make it to the play-in. The playoffs. The play-in didn't exist.
It wound up existing.
Yeah.
It's just the most romantic story we tell.
I'm with the. I think
we were going to do it.
I think they were going to catch him.
We were going to do it. The drought would have ended. Vlade'd still be here, even though it appears he's here now.
Well, shout out.
So Vlade's calling the shots, huh?
Where were they at the other day? He was in L.A.
Yeah, he was in L.A.
He was in Sacramento. I had a conversation with him.
No, that's normal. He was in L.A., James.
Yeah.
Sitting next to Vivek.
Yeah.
Well, he was with Vivek like the whole week. Yeah, actually, they were They were coming down the tunnel, and I'm like, I said, hey, you know, he stopped. And
there's always a shadowy figure lurking somewhere, isn't there?
He's so nice, like, though.
I'm not saying he's mean.
I recorded video of him and De'Aaron. Like,
I saw that.
And then Vladdy came over. He goes, did you take a picture? And I'm like, I said, I got video. He's like, ooh, can you send it to me? And I said, yes, I'll send it to you, Vladdy. So I sent it to him.
Is that how he talks?
Yes, that's how he talks.
Right. Vladdy, still very, very tall.
He is not shrunk. That is still,
still very, very tall.
A big dude.
He very much, like, he talks like Andre the Giant.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Anybody want a peanut?
That's terrific. Yeah. I love that your Andre the Giant line is the Princess Bride.
Of course.
That's great. That's great.
I love watching Andre the Giant as a kid in wrestling, but, but yeah, Princess Bride, amazing.
I know you don't like Andre. I was always fascinated by Andre the Giant.
Who don't like Andre?
You.
I wouldn't say I don't like him. I'm indifferent.
Oh.
He's fine.
I just think he's fascinating. Like, he's like his literal giant.
He is fat. Well,
even though he...
What kind of ruined it for me was all the truth that came out.
The fact that he was like 6'8".
Yeah. When I thought he was 7'1".
But the giantism is like the hands and the head and the teeth and the feet and all of that stuff.
Wait, he's only how tall?
He's like 6'9".
What?
Yeah, there's a picture of him.
You done ruined it for James.
There's a picture, the most famous picture is him, Arnold, and Wilt Chamberlain. And you see, and like Hogan is like 6'.
He's pretty tall.
Hogan's like 6'5".
Yeah.
Like they used to say he was 6'8". Hogan's like 6'4", 6'5".
They list him at 7'4".
Oh, stop.
520 pounds.
Oh, Andre the Giant is not 7'4".
He's absolutely kayfabe for James.
Yeah, like, okay, James, wrestling is a work. In every aspect, wrestling is a work.
I see the picture that you're talking about. And he's way bigger. He's way bigger than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's nowhere near Will.
No, he's way bigger than Arnold. What's Arnold like? 5'9"?
Even if Arnold's 5'9", he's still way over a foot taller than Arnold.
How tall is Arnold?
I think Arnold's short. 6 foot tall. I think that's what Arnold's.
No way.
Like, I think he's like 5'9".
No way.
Now we've gone down a rabbit hole.
It says he's 6'2". This is a lie.
No, Arnold ain't 6'2".
There's no way Arnold's 6'2".
That's his NBA height.
Put that picture back up. There's no way Arnold is 6'2".
First of all, Arnold's 7'7".
Everything. Okay.
Oh, no.
I got 5'11". I got anywhere from 5'11" to 6'2".
Here's another aspect. If Andre the Giant is 7'4", how tall is Big John Studd? Because they were damn near nose. What, Big John Studd 7'1"? No. He was like 6'8".
I don't know. I just, like, Andre the Giant is a tall dude.
Big John Studd listed as 6'10". Okay, Big John Studd. This is what you tune in for. Big John Studd versus Hulk Hogan. I need to see them nose to nose. Because Hogan, I've stood next to Hulk Hogan. He's 6'5"-ish, 6'4"-ish. Look at this. Look at this picture of, this is what you're here for. Look at this picture of Hogan and Andre.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man. Hogan is not.
Come on.
What is Hogan? 6'11"?
Yeah, but what is Hogan standing on? And, like, you know.
You know, I'll show you the picture there.
James ain't gonna let it go.
It's still real to me, damn it.
It's okay, still real to me. Wait, we said 6'10", right? 6'10".
We said 6'9".
I think he's somewhere around 6'10", 6'9".
Okay, so this will solve part of it. Here is Big John Studd and Arnold, and he is way taller. Andre the Giant is way taller.
Okay,
Andre the Giant's not 7'4".
This is the picture.
You said 6'9". Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know who that guy is in the middle.
This is the picture that fooled everybody. They don't know that Andre's standing on a box. Andre's standing on a box in that picture.
What are you doing?
Vince is like, I'm going to make him look larger than life. So he had him stand on a box.
This is ridiculous.
This is like when you learn a magician's tricks.
You guys have seen the picture of
like, look at this one. Here's another one.
Shaq next to Yao Ming, right? Oh my god.
Yes, that was real though.
Yes,
that was real. seeing Yao, I think I saw Yao during the Olympics once, and it was a pretty amazing sight because it's, I mean, it's China.
Yeah.
It's a flood of people. And then, yeah, it's literally, it looks fake. It's and then it's one individual above all of them. And I'm watching this because I'm way behind watching this. Like, this is the fakest movie scene I've ever seen. And it's just Yao walking with members of, you know, the media and his people. And, oh, it was an absolute sight.
Completely dwarfing all of them. And NBA team in general is actually like when you kind of see them all together and see all these 6-7 guys in once, like do we go to the grocery store and see 10 6-7 guys? Like, no, when you see all of them in one spot, it's like, damn, that's kind of crazy. It catches your attention.
I know a lot of people had always said, hey, Bogdan, there's no way he's anywhere near 6'6". And then Doug, like the first time we met Bogdan, Doug stood next to him and goes, oh yeah, he's if he's not 6'6", he's real close. Because Doug's like, I'm 6'7", 6'6" and 3/4 without shoes or whatever. He's like, yeah, he's 6'6". He's taller than he looks like when you take in, you know, when you see him on TV or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I know Sasha Vezenkov was listed at 6'9", and I was told he might be 6'6½", maybe. Jeez. Wasn't even close to 6'9".
Damn. How tall is Stephen Brown?
About 5'4".
is this a running joke with Steve Brown?
Steve Brown says he's 6'5".
When you see
I don't want to say no one. Casey doesn't believe it.
When you see NBA players like walking around, it's like, man, that's crazy. When you see Steven Brown walk, it's just like, it's whatever.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a lawyer, but getting some guy who just watches courtroom dramas.
How does the defendant plead?
Guilty.
Wait, what?
Also, objection.
You object to what?
Erroneous.
Counsel, approach the bench.
Hey, can I get a whack at the gavel?
You wouldn't settle for just any lawyer, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks. And suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Just whatever. That's another normal 5'5 person.
Seeing Shaq in person for the first time was a bit, it's a bit startling, for lack of a word, because I didn't see him on the floor. I saw him at Ricky's.
I watched
him get out of a limo.
He's probably at the ceiling.
Well, watching him get out of a limo, it was, you see his two legs get out, and then he like ducks under. It's like he got out of the car in section. And then goes to the door and is it popping in here? Girl says, "Yep, she's not dressed right." And Shaq gets in the limo and drives away.
What?
That's a shoot.
What?
That's a shoot.
Who is this woman?
That's a shoot. It's 100. I forgot her name. That's 100% shoot.
Oh my goodness.
Same one that turned Team Dime away. All 14 of them. They thought, you think Team Dime was 10? No, there was a whole bunch of people ready to go in there and spend money. They're like, no. That's cool.
What spot was that?
Club Ricky's. 705 J Street, downtown Sacramento. World famous. I added the world famous part. It really wasn't world famous.
No, okay.
You don't.
It's
you
not.
Absolutely don't.
It's not like where Tunnel was, right?
No.
That's old Sack.
Tunnel 21.
Tunnel was old Sack. This was on 7th and Jerry. So Ricky's was here. Hard Rock was here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know that area.
Hard Rock, man.
Well, remember, I worked at that Copeland Sports for years.
Yeah, that was just Copeland.
Yeah.
Above.
Copeland. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Shout out. Well, for a year, I think.
This was all planned. We'll come back.
Random.
This went exactly.
James, he's not 7'4". This...
I'm going to talk about today's show.
James is furious with this Andre the Giant slander.
I'm deep into this now. It's like
we will
ridiculous.
Come back. We will center our focus on Kings basketball. Practice today, what James was able to see and find out regarding DeMontis Sabonis. That's coming up with Dilo and Casey. Return here with James Hamlin, Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Oh, Full House.
Hey, James with the Candace Cameron.
She's
DJ, right?
I'm thinking the sister in the show, Alyssa Milano. Listen to Alyssa Milano.
Oh, yeah.
No, Alyssa Milano's from Who's the Boss.
Well, she's on Charmed, too.
Well, she's on Charmed, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, the sister.
I thought you meant the sister in the on the show.
What show?
Growing Pains.
The sister on Growing Pains is Tracy Gold.
I'm thinking Tracy of Gold. Who's the Boss. Alyssa Milano's on Who's the Boss, right?
Yes.
That's what with Tony Danza.
That's the show I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Tony Danza, who is on?
Raising Canaan.
Hey! My man. I'm going to have to run that
We are
back.
Not getting back on track.
I'm going to have to play that back to figure out exactly what just happened, because I'm a bit...
Who's on first?
I'm a bit
you
unsure.
Said, what'd you say, Family Ties? And I was you said Who's the Boss, and I'm thinking...
Family Ties is Michael J. Fox.
They said...
Yeah.
You said Growing Pains. I'm thinking Who's the Boss. That's why I said...
What's the sister on Family Ties?
Justine Bateman.
Sister of?
Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf 2.
Well, no, I know the last name.
That's right.
I don't know the movie. I know the last name, though.
Jason Bateman.
Michael J. Fox is Teen Wolf 1.
Isn't it crazy that Jason Bateman, like, came back with, like, Ozark?
Oh, his career's been phenomenal.
Like, he comes back and you get, like, Horrible Boss and all of it. Like, oh, it's Jason Bateman's still pretty funny.
Yeah, Game Night
was
fun.
And then Ozark drops and it's like, holy crap.
Oh, he's so good.
That's really good. Have you watched Ozark?
I haven't.
Ozark is fantastic.
He was in Juno as well.
He was.
And like in his build up to got a little awkward.
A little bit.
It's like, is it like Eddie Murphy playing that serious role in Dreamgirls?
Oh, no.
No.
Did a good job.
No, it wasn't that. No, Eddie was really great.
Yeah?
No, it wasn't
Wasn't
that.
It Thunder Lips? Or
That's
Thunder...
Hulk Hogan and Rocky.
No, it was like Thunder earlier. It's early thunder, so I can't remember what his name was.
So, Domantas Sabonis, James.
Sabonis. He's back on the court. No one would commit to him playing tomorrow, okay, but he's back on the court.
That was obviously the next question. You only get to see the last few minutes of practice. You don't know exactly what he did out there, I assume?
Yeah, everyone said he looked great. He was full participant in practice. I think there's a little bit of concern about the back-to-back, and they want to see how his body reacts to playing, to having a full practice today before they make a full decision on tomorrow. But I would be surprised if he wasn't there. But I'd also say that both Zach LaVine said, yeah, I mean, he looked great, but, you know, it's a hamstring and we want him to be good for the final, you know, for the stretch run here. We don't want him to risk that. And Doug kind of said the same exact thing. Like, yeah, he looked good, but we'll see how he feels tomorrow. He was with the medical staff when we were there.
Is there a possibility, I'm sure there is, I shouldn't ask you this question, but maybe they let him, you know, he's active, but it's a minutes restriction, you know, he doesn't play more than X amount of minutes at a time or something like that. Or, ironically, for a hamstring, like we saw with James Harden that time, maybe you don't take him off the court.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty extreme circumstance.
That was your season.
Shout out to James. I think it's one of his finest moments. But yeah.
Of which one?
When Harden messed up his hamstring in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
With the
play like the 49
Nets,
minutes.
The Nets versus the Bucks, and he just never came out of the game.
Yeah, because the second you come out of the game, you're worried that thing's going to get cold and tighten up and you're going to be done.
Yeah.
So I would expect that, again, like if they're going to play him, they'll probably play him in long stretches. And then once he sits, you know, maybe he doesn't come back in the game. Like what you don't want to do again is play him and then have him sit and have it get cold and then come back. I don't know. Maybe they'll pull the bike out and have him work on the bike like Harrison Barnes used to do all the time in the tunnel.
Harrison might have gotten traded
to San Antonio. Harrison was like, "Look, I'll go, but I got to bring the bike with me."
Yeah,
it's possible.
Harrison was on the bike in Game 7, and Steph was just going crazy. Hey, man, come on, man. Get off the bike. In the game, stop somebody.
I was totally wrong. The kid from Blank Check was actually the younger brother from Family Ties, not from Growing Pains. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I barely remember the younger brother from Family Ties. I just remember Justine Bateman and Michael J. Fox.
Well, and you remember the younger sister.
I remember...
Christine Yethers?
Yes.
Is that what it's something?
Yethers. Yeah. I don't know if it was...
No, I might be wrong there.
I feel like it's Yethers. I feel like you're right there.
Oh, here he is. Brian Bonsell. He's had an interesting life.
Sounds like an NBA writer.
An interesting life. There's a mugshot here.
Well, all right.
Poor Preston. That was his name in Blank Check.
You two people are going to be so pissed off when I title this segment, Domantas Sabonis Returns Back to the Court.
Oh, they are going to be so angry with you. 27 minutes in.
Tina Yethers. There we go.
Thank you.
Jeez, killing me.
Tina. What? What were we doing?
We were talking about Domas.
Where were we? Okay.
Will he play? Will he not?
What was the vibe at practice today? Like we heard, we played Doug, Zach, and honestly, we were going to play tomorrow, and then we just got bored, or I did, and so it felt like everyone was pretty chill, quiet. Like what was the vibe like?
Yeah, when we came in, actually, it was really noisy. The music was cranked up. There was groups of two, like on a far court and on the close court, just hanging out and, you know, shooting shots and lots of loud music. And when we got to players, it was a little different. I think a lot of, you know, sort of, yeah, that was one bad game. You know, we're moving on.
Talking about the Knicks game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think a lot of like, sort of like, yeah, wasn't great, but you know, we're all right. That happens sometimes in the league, and I know that's what DeMar kept saying.
Yeah,
it's something that happens. You know, on occasion, you have a bad night, and they didn't want to make excuses, but just said, yeah, we weren't physical enough. We got beat up, and you know, we don't want to do that again.
Yeah, we were talking about it while everything was going on. It's like at this point in the season, there's not a whole lot to say. You know what's in front of you. You know these games are important. There is no game that, like, obviously you're not going to go undefeated, but there is no game that you, I'm like, yeah, we can lose that one. It's okay. Like, no, like it's a sprint at this point. So you just got beat up by a Knicks team on Monday. You got to win all these games. Like every game is essentially a must win when you're in the Kings situation.
Yeah, I even asked if, you know, it's possible that the way that they played the Clippers all the way down to the wire and lost on Sunday and then played the Knicks on Monday, if that could be a learning experience for them. Because let's be honest, tomorrow's a back-to-back, you know, the like half the games left here on the schedule are back-to-backs, and you can't just put it all out there in one game and, oh, we lost, and then come back the next night and just say, oh, well, you know, we put it all out there last night. We all played 40 minutes and, you know, we went to overtime and we lost. Just like, well, you don't get to lose. You can't let one game be two games every time. And I don't know if that's fully what happened with the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks were a team that had lost three straight that were coming in pretty hungry, that just out-physicaled the Kings. But you also, in some of those games, the team that's sitting there waiting, they kind of get the temperature in the first couple of minutes of a game and then go, oh, look, these guys are not hitting hard tonight. Yeah. We're just going to, like, let's crank up what's happening here and let's run these guys off the court. And that's what happened. I mean, the Knicks just, like, pushed them around from then on.
Yeah, I don't mind the idea of, let's just put that behind us. I don't mind the idea either of, oh, those games happen. I think we said that the next day too. Like, you could harp on it. It really sucks. I think that game was magnified because of what happened the night before. Each of those two games, I think, was magnified by the result of the other one. The Clippers game was magnified because of the result of the Knicks game. The Knicks game was magnified because of the result of the Clippers game. And they all result in, if you had just gotten that Clippers game, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. But the idea of just moving on, putting it behind you, like, I'm perfectly fine with that. But tomorrow's game there's a lot of, you know, we talk about this on the handoff hammer. Like, it feels like there's playoff basketball ahead for Sacramento. Like now, like right now, you've got games, you've got games with playoff implications coming up. And the later we get into the season, the stronger those implications are going to become. Like the Clippers, they play tonight. They could lose again. And you could enter that game tomorrow against the Golden State Warriors with a chance to, being matched in losses with the Los Angeles Clippers, and a chance to pick up a win, seal the season series on the Golden State Warriors, and put yourself in a good position moving forward. Not great, but it's good. And it puts you in a really good spot for, you know, 7 and 8 conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every game is so incredibly valuable at this point. You can't just, like, again, there are going to be games coming up that you have no chance. And the team's never going
to... I don't think that's true.
Well,
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
The team's never going to say that, but when you have 3 games in 4 nights, and I don't care if it's home or it's road or wherever it is, but those games are Milwaukee, OKC, and Boston, like, you're going to lose probably 2 of those games and more likely 3. And that's just a reality of the situation you are. Now, like, I'm not going to make excuses for them, but I think the reason I believe they're going to lose is not because I think they're a horrible basketball team, but I think they're playing a team that's better than them. And so you just kind of like look at those games and they're going to be really tough. Now, like, look, if this team walks in and shocks us and wins all 3 of those games, what is it? OKC? Yeah. OKC.
Boston and Milwaukee.
Yeah, Boston, Milwaukee. But Boston and OKC on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Those are the teams that likely will be in the NBA Finals. Like, if we're making odds right now, those are the two teams we're putting in the NBA Finals, not to disrespect the Cavs or,
you just did,
or Denver or anyone else. But those are, I mean, and the Cavs are incredible, right? They've got 2 15-game win streaks and a 12-game win streak. They're just like spectacular. But still, the team with the experience is Boston. The team that won the championship last year is, you know, Jesse's Boston Celtics. And so I don't think you're looking at those two games out of all the games left on the schedule and thinking, oh, we're going to get one of those or we're going to find a way to sweep those. So it's tough. I mean, that's why you need to win games early in the season that matter. You know, every game matters. When you get down to it, you know, again, the loss to the Clippers is, it's so heavily weighted because not only did you lose a game, did you drop behind them in the standings, but you lost the season series to them. So in order to beat the Clippers, you've got to finish a game above them in standings now. And all of those things matter. Same thing with Golden State. Like, the game tomorrow really matters. Because there's a possibility here that Golden State comes back down to earth and struggles in the last 2-3 weeks of the season. We don't know. And you want to be in a position where if you do somehow climb back up in the standings and tie them, that you're the one who moves ahead, that gets a higher seeding in the playoffs because you got the tiebreaker. And that's why tomorrow matters so much.
The back-to-back that you have with the Warriors and the Suns, can you – I talked earlier about the team needs an energy shift. Like, they had positive energy and things were going great. And then they had that loss, and it seems like the energy in that locker room or just around the team in general is in a tough malaise. Do you think that you need to win both of those to change the energy, or can you get away with just – splitting that back-to-back, and that'll have them feeling good about themselves starting that homestand?
I think they can build positive energy by, like, again, if you lose the Golden State game and it's a tough-fought game, but you come back the next night and you beat Phoenix, I think you could get some momentum out of that. But it still doesn't help you, like, long-term. The standings are what they are. These are not two of the easier games in the standings, but you can't look at Golden State. I mean, the Golden State has won 10 out of 12. They've been really good since the trade, right? And they're nearly unbeatable with Jimmy Butler. But that you still have to go in and play them. Like, the rest of the NBA doesn't just lay down and give the Golden State Warriors a championship because they went out and made a Jimmy Butler trade. So you've got to find a way to be competitive in these games, and you've got to find a way, like, to win some games against teams that are ahead of you in the standings. 2 weeks ago, when you got clubbed by this team, you were tied in the standings, or the Kings were half game above them. But now they're way above the Kings because they just keep winning, and the Kings have kind of been, you know, hit and miss. You got to find ways to compete and to show that you're just as good or better than them. And again, like, sometimes it does come down to just straight up the tiebreakers against these teams, you know? And what if you beat Golden State and it kind of snaps them out of their little, you know, their little run here? And what if they stack up a couple of losses here?
Yeah.
That's what you're hoping, that
that's
you can.
KC was talking about earlier, shift the energy. Yep.
Yeah, you know, I get it. Yeah, shift the energy. And hey, look, like, Steph Curry is unbelievable, mm-hmm. but he's also a player who is unbelievable and gets hurt all the time. You know, if Steph has an ankle problem or whatever here in the next couple of weeks, like, that team is going to have a tough time winning again. And so that's what you're looking at here. You got to find ways to. Not to hurt somebody, but ways to stick around and to, you know, win season series against teams when it's available. And this is a big one.
Yeah. And it'll look a little bit different. You talked about the Jimmy Butler lineup for the first time tomorrow. We'll see this Jimmy Butler version of the Golden State Warriors with Jonathan Kuminga, who will return for the first time since, I think, early January? February? Yeah. January?
He's missed, I think, 31 straight games.
Okay. What do you, I know, I actually, I don't think you're a big Jonathan Kuminga fan, but how do you think this all, it's an interesting dynamic to this game on multiple fronts. Is, I'm sure the Warriors want to get him involved. They, you know, want to get him back out there. They want to give him some run, but you also have something that has been working incredibly well. And that's quite the dynamic for Steve Kerr to juggle over there.
Yeah, I mean, I think long term you're a better team when you have more talent, and Jonathan Kuminga is very talented, and so, like, I think if they can integrate him in, he's actually going to be, you know, a strong player for them. But there are certain players that just, you know, like Jimmy Butler. We talked to DeMar DeRozan today, and he said something about Jimmy being a winner. It's either him or Zach. One of the two said, like, Jimmy Butler's just a winner. And that's something that, you know, again, Jonathan Kuminga, you look at Kuminga's stats, you look at Jimmy Butler's stats, they're not dissimilar. Like, they're actually, you know, very, very comparable players statistically, except for the assist numbers for Butler. But that doesn't change the fact that Jimmy Butler is a bona fide winner. And Kuminga has never been able to reach that status. And so, like, again, Kuminga's numbers and his value to a team aren't on the same page yet.
Sure.
And so I don't know that it helps them or hurts them, but I do know that it will change sort of the chemistry on the court, and we'll have to see how they handle that. But I don't know that it's a really good thing to add him back in after missing this much time. Like, long term, it's a good thing because you're going to need Kuminga to be a good player for you. But short term, it could be a little rough, and we'll have to see what it looks like. But you're talking about a guy who, you know, again, he's okay at spacing the floor, but not great at spacing the floor. He has a high usage rate. He's a player that wants the ball in his hands to be effective. The Kings don't really have somebody that can defend Kuminga like one-on-one, except for maybe Keegan and maybe Laravia. But still, this is he's a quality player. He's just not someone who, again, I think impacts the bottom line yet.
Do you have you felt any energy when you asked Doug Christie about the coaching staff?
It's weird because...
Did you know Doug is the coach?
I did know that Doug is a coach. I don't understand, like, he's sensitive about it. And
yeah.
But, you know, he hadn't told us that. He had said it to Jason, you know, and I was trying to, like, but we all heard it over the air, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted to kind of judge where he was at with that. And I find
what it tell you.
I find it strange that he's sensitive about it, and that's not what we're trying to ask there.
Yeah.
You know, again, Leandro Barbosa had surgery on, I believe it's his quad. He tore his quad. And so he has a full leg brace, and I don't believe he can sit on the front of the bench. And the idea is for him to be a front of the bench coach when it's time. All right. Doug and him have become good friends. They've traveled with Domas all over the place. You know, it's not just Doug and Domas. A lot of times Leandro was part of that. So I get it being like super familiar with Leandro, but at the same time, like it shouldn't be that difficult. Like, it was like, what is the structure? Like what nameplates go where? And he's a little combative about it. I don't think he was horribly combative today with it, but he still said the same thing, like, I'm the coach. Like, it's like, yeah, we know you're the coach, but like, who's sitting where? That's all we're asking. Like we're going to a wedding. Who's sitting next to who?
Yeah.
At table 13. Like, yeah. That's what we're asking.
Right.
And surprisingly, he's not fully like on board with like expressing what that means.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And again, we're not trying to like say, hey, does this mean Jawad Williams is not one of your guys? Does this mean so-and-so is one of your guys? I don't think we have like a real level of comfort with him when it comes to that specific thing.
Do you know, and this is just Kenny Caraway talking. I get the vibes that him and Luke weren't on the same page. That's how it comes off to me.
Luke is definitely a Mike Brown guy. Like, there's no question about that. Like, Jordy Fernandez was a Mike Brown guy. Davides Dulkes, like, he's not so much a Mike Brown guy as he was a Luke Laux guy. Like, they played together at Florida State. Like, they're good friends, right? Their wives are, like, best friends. And so that group of coaches... We're very close to Mike, and that's going to be part of the problem coming down the stretch here. When we ask these questions of Doug, of like who goes where, right? I would say the one good thing for Doug is that a lot of those coaches left during the offseason, like a group of them, Dutch Gately and Dulkes and Jordy all left and went to Brooklyn. And so that kind of broke up some of Mike's who's a Mike guy and who's a Doug guy type thing. But at this point, like if Doug is going to be the head coach next year, we could see an entirely different coaching staff. We could see one or two leftover people. We could see three. I don't know how many people will be left over if Doug is a coach next year, but that's the NBA game and Doug should be allowed to hire his own coaching staff. You just can't do it mid-season. So like, would I be surprised next season if it's Doug Christie and sitting next to him is Elston Turner?
Mm.
Who is like the defensive coordinator one of the lead coaches for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't be surprised by that. Yeah. You know, him and Elston.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, but that's awesome. So I could see that. Like a lot of people throw up Bobby Jackson.
Get Elston off that sinking ship, too.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, Elston is still a really good defensive coach, and they were together here in Sacramento, and then Elston was back. Elston, I think, has been back three times.
Elston's the original Sam Cassell. Like the big, he's like, yeah. It's the biggest crime Elston Turner wasn't a head coach.
Yeah.
He absolutely deserves an opportunity.
He absolutely did.
I totally agree. You know, there are coaches that for whatever reason, they never get that opportunity.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they do, and they're just great. And you're like, man, you just wasted all that time where you could have like had him be the front guy. But like, look, I wouldn't be shocked. Elston's, I looked it up today. I think he's 65 years old.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that that's going to happen. Elston might be totally happy in Minnesota and like, no, I'm good. But Doug should have the opportunity to go out and bring in people that he's comfortable with that you trust and that you don't worry about if they're sitting on the bench and they say something to a media member or something else. Everyone should be pulling the same way.
Yeah.
And they should all be pulling the same way with one message, and that message is put out by the head coach.
It's been a tough year for Doug. Like obviously the Mike Brown firing, mm-hmm. but also the rumors around the stuff involving Jay or Luke Laux and all of the stuff that surrounded Mike Brown's firing. That probably made, you know, Doug's position difficult. You know, Doug ascending to that position difficult. And that doesn't even factor in the De'Aaron Fox dynamic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of it's crazy.
Yeah.
This is chaotic.
It's a lot to ask a coach to handle. It's a ton to ask an interim coach to handle.
Yeah. And like the story you're talking about, like, we know that the front office gave Mike Brown a choice to mm-hmm. let go of one of his assistant coaches, mm-hmm. whether it was Luke or it was Jay. And he said no. And then he wasn't there a week later. Mike wasn't.
Yeah, right.
And so those coaches were still there up until this last weekend when Luke left. So, yeah, there's some awkwardness. You got to get through it.
I think our show is over. Yep, our show is over. Jesse says we have to go home. We can't play anymore. So we appreciate you for being with us. We're going to head over to 102.5. Make sure you're with James and Kyle tomorrow morning beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Nuggets.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a best man speech, but getting one from some random plus one.
I am honored to be standing here today, also confused and a little hungry. Does anyone want to switch entrees? Pretty sure I checked beef.
You wouldn't settle for just any speech, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go. Try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.